Unpaved, Sean Salisbury here to bring an authentic, real stuff to you. Hardcore opinion.
Sean Salisbury, a great NFL analyst, a former NFL quarterback.
To me, Tom Brady is the GOAT because he's done more with less than any player at that position we've ever had.
Welcome in, everybody, to Unpaved. He is Sean Salisbury. I am Adam Sager. It's the day before Thanksgiving, last show of the week. We're going to hit it hard. We got a lot of football to talk about. We got college football playoff rankings to talk about. We've got a bunch of games. Tomorrow we got three. Friday we have one. Sunday is a jam-packed NFL Sunday. And then it's rivalry week in college football. So we got a bunch of big games that we're just going to run through real quick, one sentence on each, and just try and hit as many games to give us some info going into them. But before we get going in this show, and we're about to light somebody up, so if you're here, get ready for us to light somebody up for a stupid comment. But first, let's talk about Augusta Precious Metals, Sean.
Let's do it. I was on social media, and I had a couple people reach out, and one in particular said, I'm loading up on gold. And Augusta Precious Metals, because I was talking about it online. Yep. And he said, I'm loading up. And because I said the same thing, I said, I've never been more cognizant of precious metals than I am now. And in about 15 minutes, we'll have Devlin Steele on, who is also the director of education for Augusta Precious Metals, just to give us, we're just going to roll through quick. And he's got some great ideas for you, but you've got to pay attention moving forward. This could be the difference in your confidence in retirement or not. So, you know, watching football and sports every week reminds me that in football and life, the clock's always ticking. It is. And sometimes you don't have a timeout, but if you do, use it. Don't leave it on the board. So when it's late in the game, don't freeze. Stay calm, and you got to make a smart move. And it's even a bigger move off the football field when it comes to your retirement. So I've been looking at what's going on in the country. I think we all have. You know, what's your depth of what's going on? That's up to you. But we're about $38 trillion in debt. And it's going to hit $40 trillion, with a T, trillion, in 2026, more than likely. The kind of pressure hits everyone. It doesn't just hit the rich or the poor or anybody in between. It hits everybody, especially folks trying to retire with confidence so you're secure, so you don't have to go back to work. If you want to retire, you got the option. If you want to go back to work, that's on you. But that confidence when you retire matters. That's why I've been talking with the team at Augusta Precious Metals, and they are a huge part of our show now, and so grateful to have them as a partner. They're the ones helping people understand how to keep part of their savings in something real, tangible, precious metals, gold, in your hand. So it's not all tied to what Washington does next or says next. They put together, that's called freedom, to be able to make those choices without relying on somebody else. They put together a short free guide called the $40 Trillion Threat Report. It just explains what's going on and the options you've got. We tell our kids to have options all the time. Why wouldn't we as adults heading into retirement or preparing for it, whether it's 10 years or 30 years. If you want to see it, there's a link in my description, or you can text Sean, S-E-A-N, to 35052. That's text Sean to 35052, and they'll send it right over. Take a look when you have a minute. It's not going to be long reading. It's going to be efficient reading and something that may make a difference in your retirement. It's worth understanding the game we're all playing. It's the game of life and the game of retirement. Again, they have that link in my description, or it is the $40 Trillion Threat Report. Augusta Precious Metals has right there. It's a free guide. You can text Sean to 35052. That's 35052. Text Sean to 35052. And they'll send it right over, and you take a minute and have a look at it, man. So it's a good gig.
Definitely, definitely. Go check out Augusta Precious Metals, and Devlin Steele will join us in about 8 minutes or so. But before we do that, First off, go like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Forgot to throw that out there early, at Unpaved Sean Salisbury. Sean, we're getting ready to tear somebody apart for a stupid comment. And this guy's known to make stupid comments. So we're going to play the video first, and then we'll react. But just listen to what Kendrick Perkins has to say.
Shedeur Sanders is the most powerful black man since 2009. You know what happened in 2009?
Right.
That's when President Obama got elected in office. He's the most powerful black man since 2009. You said you were sitting there watching a game in your house, and what you did? You ran with the TV.
Goddamn right, right? I did.
What was you doing, DB?
I was cheering. I was happy.
You was cheering like a motherfucker. When Shedeur Sanders is on the field, and when I say powerful, powerful, because there's two sides of it, right? Think about it. Okay, you got the black community. He bringing the whole black community together. I ain't ran across one black person that didn't say one bad thing about Shedeur.
We want him.
And guess what? Not one, because he has the balance. He has the balance of that. I'm arrogant, but I'm humble too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right? He got fun with this shit.
And he having fun with this shit. And on top of that, y'all want me to say it ain't? Y'all want me to feel it ain't gonna happen?
Yeah, he talking shit. I love that shit, bro.
He's the most powerful black man in sports. No other. Matter of fact, fuck black man. He the most powerful player in sports.
I mean, I'm. What?
I can't, dude. And you know, Sags, that I don't usually like to talk about other broadcasters. I mean, in a bad way, I know it's hard. I know it's hard to do broadcasting and do it all. But you cannot be this stupid to make these comments, because he's smarter than that, I like to think. I'm talking to Kendrick Perkins. Maybe I'm wrong, Sags, yeah. But I try not to get in there and say, unless somebody says so far-fetched and stupid that I just can't resist. I don't know Kendrick Perkins personally. I know one thing, that when it comes to stuff like this, he's unwatchable for me on a podcast or TV. Now, for others, I don't get in his wallet to know how much money makes good on him. He's carved out a career, all for it. I'm compartmentalizing this. There could not be anything that was said in the country yesterday dumber than this. One is, first off, and you wonder why there's race issues. It all went to, first of all, there's plenty of black quarterbacks like Mahomes and Jalen Hurts and Lamar Jackson who have brought a community together, brought quarterback play together, long before Shedeur, the Warren Moons and James Harris's and Doug Williams were doing stuff too. Social media has made Shedeur Sanders popular. Shedeur Sanders isn't even the most popular or more powerful guy in his own house, meaning his dad pulls that name. Because if he didn't have the last name Sanders, he wouldn't be powerful anywhere. Nobody give a fuzzy rat's ass whether he's playing or not. I'm rooting for the kid. This has nothing to do with Shedeur. Shedeur didn't put this out there.
Right, 100%.
Kendrick Perkins did. So don't get mad at Shedeur for somebody else's stupidity, okay? One is, he compared a guy getting his second start. And because we're talking about a guy that's become a lightning rod because he wasn't playing, he was backing up, hell, maybe on his own team and trying to find his way in. He was a fifth round pick, wasn't a first round pick. When you say, if you want to say he's the most talked about backup quarterback we've ever said, fifth round pick, have at it. I'm with you. The most powerful athlete in the world and the most powerful black man since 2009 and Barack Obama. Dude, do you understand that he was, what, 12 of 20 last week? I get it. Forget the statistics. It's not even on Shedeur. It's that somebody labeled a second start quarterback who's in the media. And you fans out there, I don't know how you do what you do. I don't know how you turn on your TV or your podcast at times. Sam's this one, because we're not that outlandish. Sam, I'm not even sure Kendrick Perkins actually believes this. It's a like, tweet, retweet, repost, hit the click button, whatever, to get us doing what we're doing, and we're adding to it. But I just couldn't resist. Why? Because this is the dumbest shit you could ever hear. And we sit there and wonder why. Well, there's divide. So we've labeled it. It's a black thing, according to Kendrick Perkins. No, it's a quarterback thing, one. And it's a popularity thing. It's social media. People want him to play. I got news for Kendrick Perkins. It's not just black people that want to see him succeed. There's plenty of white people want to see him succeed. And there's plenty of both that I've seen on both sides of the race issue others that don't want to see him succeed. I don't know why you'd root against him other than maybe you think he's got privilege, but he seems like a good enough kid. I digress. That has nothing to do with Shador. It has something to do with what Kendrick Perkins saying, that this is where we're at now in society. We are literally comparing a backup fifth-round quarterback. He didn't say popular. He didn't say most talked about.
Right.
He said the most powerful black man since Barack Obama, 2009. Now, you want me to go between 2009 and what's happened? I would say that George Floyd has created a lot of buzz and when he went through his life and his death and what happened. There's still stuff going on because of that. The guy threw a touchdown pass last week on a screenplay. And because he was being talked about, if you say he wanted to be the most talked about man in football going in, yeah. And he may be as talked about as anybody, but, you know, they're talking about Matt Stafford. They're talking about Lamar Jackson in Baltimore. But there's a buzz, if most the biggest buzzword or name going on, Shador Sanders. But I am absolutely baffled how you can put a mic and a camera in front of your face and say stupid shit like this. And then you fans, you tune in to watch that you're supposed to pay for something or you're supposed to tune in and watch them spew, meaning him, on shows like this. Say this first off. Number one is, I can tell you this. He's going to have to now go face some of the guys. Some of the guys he works with think they're the most powerful black man since 2009. So he's going to have to go explain to them why he thinks Shador is more popular than guys he even works with. And quite frankly, some of the guys on his set are more popular and talked about than Shador Sanders is. I just can't get it. Segs, that would be like an average white power forward, okay, back in the 1990s when I played.
Yeah.
I don't know. Give me one, Segs. Some average white power forward who played, and he had a good career. I was an average quarterback, so I know where Kendrick's coming. As I made my first start, went to Anaheim, hour away from my home, Segs. You know, backup quarterbacks are the most popular guy in the world, right, Segs? Boom. Yep. Get my first start. 24 out of 35. Beat the Rams on the road an hour from my home. Throw for like 240 yards. We win the game. Everybody's excited. It would be like 2 days later, that man coming out and saying, you know what? Sean is the most powerful white quarterback or white man.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, he's the most powerful man in sports. And this was my first start. He's the most powerful white man since Abraham Lincoln. Now, I want you to think how stupid that sounds. Now, I wasn't being talked about like Shador. We didn't have social media. But I simply, the lack of importance on my first start was big because we won a game in my own family and a few friends. Other than that, this ain't changing the world. This isn't changing football. This isn't changing the Cleveland Browns. Good on Shador. I hope he goes out and plays his ass off. But you cannot literally say this and this us and then us take you serious. How many times that guy been elbowed to the temple to probably say shit like this? How many times this stuff, first off, what a way to shrink and diminish the black community or black powerful black men like Obama or others that have actually made a difference every single day, whether it's in politics, medicine, the rest of it. Is in sports Shador being talked about? Absolutely. But to reach out and call him the most popular, or should I say powerful black man since Obama in 2009? And now I'm supposed to move forward and take what he says serious. He can't believe this. And anybody in the, first off, I hate to tell Kendrick Perkins this, but even folks in his community are laughing at him over this comment.
Dude, everybody is.
And way to shrink those that are doing more important. Shador's doing important stuff for Cleveland, for himself. He's getting better. He's confident. He wants to go play well. I get all that. Shador, this isn't on you, my man. This is on the stupidity of the fact that we think this platform, none of us are that important on sports. We're just not. Although a lot of, I know there's a lot of analysts or hosts that all, at some point we all think we're more important than we are. Right. We ain't that important. Throwing a touchdown ain't that important. And I got news for you. Shador Sanders isn't the most popular man in his own home, and he's sure as hell not the most popular, or should I say, I keep saying pop. He's not the most popular man in his own home. He's not the most powerful black man since 2009. He's not the most powerful black man the last month, okay? So stop this.
This would
fun, powerful, yeah, in sports. the fact that Kendrick Perkins actually thinks that this is the only needle moving about this comment is the ignorance that surrounds it. And we wonder why. I don't know how you guys take so many of these analysts and stuff they're spewing on TV. And I'm sure you say the same about me, but I'm not crazy enough to say something this fucking stupid.
Right.
Okay. I'm just not. I may say a lot of stuff, get predictions wrong, but I'm not crazy enough to say something like this because somebody's going to click on it. You lose all sports credibility, let alone life credibility, with a camera in front of you, not in his own home life, but with a camera and a mic in front of you. How do I take you serious?
Right.
How do I take you serious?
This would be like, yeah,
I was the most important white backup quarterback since Abraham Lincoln when I got my first win and my first start. Unbelievable, Segs, the difference I sure made in life. Which about 3 days later, everybody forgot about it. This ain't a black or white thing, but Kendrick Perkins managed to turn it into one. I guess we shouldn't be shocked with this.
Yeah, very stupid. We're about to get to Devlin Steele from Augusta Precious Metals. But Sean, the first name that popped into my head, because, you know, he makes it a black thing and all this stuff, makes it a race thing. What if somebody, like you said, that 90s white power forward, whoever you want to talk about.
Somebody mentioned this, my guy, Kelly Trepuka.
There
and
you
I
go.
I love Kelly because Kelly was my, you know what he was, Sakes? He was my host on my recruiting trip to Notre Dame.
Oh, nice. There you go. Yeah. So, okay, but let's say an ESPN analyst, Tim Legler.
Right.
Had a nice little career, basketball guy, jumps in.
Really good analyst, too.
And says is great. In 2010. That Tim Tebow is the most powerful person because of, I mean, Tim Tebow was five times being talked about than Shedeur Sanders. I mean, remember that Tebow mania that we had? I mean, it was every single little practice, every OTA in May. I mean, Tim Tebow was the hottest talked about guy, and he was out there making a difference in the world and you know, doing his thing. That would be like this, and we all would have laughed at that. And now you got Kendrick
because it's a black white. Then whether it's white or black, we'd be if somebody came out and called, would have said something. Stupid. Would have said something. The other, it doesn't matter who said it, and what color your skin is,
right?
Because if you're an African American, you're sitting there saying he really didn't just compare a backup quarterback getting a second start to the most powerful. Now, if he would have said, you know, the most powerful black man in the world right now is President Obama and has been since he's become president, no doubt. But to stick him in the same Mount Rushmore talk of President Obama, are you out of your mind?
He is.
And he's I'm supposed to look at him and give him credibility when he tells me something about sports? You couldn't be more ignorant. That's the perfect example of overloading your mouth with your ass and not even realizing it. All right, Segs, let's... Augusta Precious Metals is a big part of the show, and I know we're a few minutes late getting to him, and I appreciate his patience. But when I listened to him talk, my love not only for gold, silver, but precious metals went through the roof, and for Augusta Precious Metals, because it's all about information and education. And joining us now, he is the director of education at Augusta Precious Metals. It is Devlin Steele, and I'm so grateful to have you on. Devlin, great to come on. You look a lot sharp. I'm in the...
I don't have any audio from you guys.
You can't hear me?
I can't hear you at all.
He can't hear me. Bailey, pop on here, and maybe we could talk about a button that will.
Devlin, my man, could you leave and rejoin the studio, my man? If you hear me,
he said,
at all?
"Devlin, you got it." Send him a message. Can you hear Bailey at all?
I don't know what to do.
Devlin, do this. If you can see me, cut it off and then rejoin. Rejoin. Okay. We'll get to him. This would be a bummer. I don't know if it's on all of our sound is working. So hopefully we'll get through it and be able to get him on because he's really, really good. And there's some really good questions that we can ask him. Good questions that we can ask him. So we'll look forward to having him on. Again, you can text Sean to 35052 for that link that we talked about earlier in the commercial for Augusta Precious Metals. You got me now, Devlin?
I got you now.
See, it's technology be damned. We know a lot about precious metals. I don't know a damn thing about about which button to push. It's great to have you on. Again, he's the director of education at Augusta Precious Metals. You know, Devlin, you and I talked about a week or so ago, and you told me that most Americans are undereducated about gold and silver. What do you mean, and why do you think that is?
Well, the financial institutions themselves, the big banks, the financial advisors, institutions, they work under management and assets under management, which means they get fees. They get no fees for gold and silver. So, you know, their objective is to get you into stocks and bonds and into their products. They're called financial advisors, but they really only advise you on products that they make money on. So they're really salesmen, just under that name. So people don't know what gold and silver can do for them. And gold and silver have been some of the highest performing assets for the last 20 something years. If you go back 20 years, gold has gone up over 1200% without any fees attached to it. So it's been an incredible investment for people. And I think people need to learn more about it.
Okay, I was one of these guys, you know, the hesitation to call like a precious metals or gold company because of the, well, is there pressure to sell and what are they going to heap on me? And I think I missed out on it until, well, I found you guys. And they expect that sales pressure. So why do you, and I guess it still exists, why do you think that perception exists about precious metals and gold when people call? What makes Augusta Precious Metals different?
Well, I think that pressure does exist. I think it exists with financial advisors too, selling annuities and all types of financial products. They really, you know, put the pressure on. What's different is Augusta Precious Metals does not have commissioned salespeople. So when you're calling in, you're actually speaking to someone who's trying to help you. And we run educational services, meaning that we put everyone through web conferences. We really teach them everything about it. We believe an educated customer is our best customer. And someone, if you read the reviews on Augusta, you'll find that no one experiences pressure. They experience guidance.
This is Devlin Steele, Director of Education for Augusta Precious Metals. And, you know, you and I had discussed, and also we can see it when you go on there, guys, and hit the website and see the education is that, how long it's been around, but the growth of gold and silver and precious metals. So with that, did we miss, if we haven't jumped into it, have we missed the window or does it still exist and are metals too expensive for us now?
That's a great question, Sean. And, you know, if you just look at the last 2 years, gold has gone from 2000 to over 4000. Silver has gone from 20 to over 50. So it would feel like, wow, you're getting in at the top of the market. But in all actuality, what's happening on a very rapid rate is de-dollarization. The central banks around the world are dumping U.S. treasuries in dollars. For the first time since 1996, the foreign central banks hold more gold than U.S. treasuries. I mean, that's a big, big thing. Right. But something else is happening. The Federal Reserve is about to make a U-turn, a literal U-turn. They are ending what's called quantitative tightening, where they shrink the balance sheet. They let assets like mortgage-backed securities and U.S. treasuries fall off the balance sheet. Now they're going to stop that on December 1st, and $60 billion should fall off every month. That means they have to print money to keep it there. And, you know, I know you run a sports show, so think of it this way, that for the last 2.5 years, if you think about salary caps, they have been shrinking the salary caps. So you could get less players or less big dollar players because they've shrunk that $2.4 trillion in the last 2.5 years. Now they're going to allow more salary cap is going to get injected into the economy. When that happens, you can go out and get free agents and pay more money. Well, gold and silver is like those free agent stars, superstars, because the first money when you start expanding the balance sheet, it raises assets like gold and silver because the box office doesn't see more people in it till later on, right? So the profits for companies don't come in later on. Stocks and other assets don't rise until later. So we're going through a liquidity expansion stage now. And every time that's happened, 2008, 2018, 2020, gold and silver have taken off for the next 2-3 years. I'm talking 50, 100, 150% up in those periods. So we're seeing gold at $5,000 next year, silver $70, $75. We see nothing but expansion for the next few years in gold and silver.
And that December 1st, which will be what, next Monday, that right after Thanksgiving, that quantitative tightening ends. Okay, you, when you and I talked last week, we you shared me some surprising stats that I had no idea about central banks and the U.S. dollar. So what's changing globally that people should know about that?
Well, one of the things that's changing globally is the reason why we are the world's reserve currency is trust in our Federal Reserve and trust in the independence of the Federal Reserve. And what's happening is next year in May, Jerome Powell resigns. So not resigns, his term ends. And so now you're going to have a Federal Reserve that's going to be very Trump friendly, which is whether good or bad, I'm not here to say. You know, what I know is that Trump wants to get interest rates down to 1%. There's going to be a perceived globally perception that the Federal Reserve may not have the same type of independence. We might see a cascading effect of U.S. Treasuries being dumped worldwide. And with that, the dollar is just going to continue to go down. You're going to see prices continue to go up. We're not, inflation is, if you look at just the latest reports from yesterday, Consumer Price Index, we are escalating. We're not controlling inflation right now. So this is a major problem for Americans. And that's why gold and silver is your hedge against that. It offsets these losses.
Director of Education Devlin Steele for Augusta Precious Metals. I find this so fascinating. All right. I hear it. I think we hear it all over the place. De-dollarization. Is that real? And basically, what does that mean? Or why should listeners care about that?
Because the strength of your dollar is dependent on the dollar maintaining the world reserve currency. De-dollarization means that the foreign central banks are getting rid of U.S. treasuries and the dollar, and that foreign trade isn't being settled in the U.S. dollar as much. It's declining. That will mean that our dollar will continue to get weaker, and that means that goods and services will continue to cost us more. This is not a good thing.
Right. And Devlin, you mentioned about financial advisors when they're selling products and commission-based. It is not Augusta Precious Metals, but between financial advisors and, you know, the big institutions, the finance institutions, why don't they talk about physical gold and silver that obviously right now would make a difference in people's retirement? Why don't they discuss that very much? Why is it so under publicized?
It goes back to the where their bread gets buttered. You know, right. It's very, very simple. They don't make money off of gold and silver.
Follow the money trail with that case, right, Devlin? That's basically what it is, right?
That's what it is, absolutely. But interestingly enough, those same institutions invest heavily in precious metals for their own funds.
Right, which is the irony of it. So for someone, let's say someone's never bought, they think about it here by all the time, but never bought gold or silver or been involved with, you know, metals before. And so when they're going in, I don't care if it's 30 years before, 10 years before, they're preparing for their retirement. So what is the right way for them to think about adding gold and or silver, the metals, to their retirement plan?
Think about it in the terms of retaining your purchasing power. What you worked for your whole life and you put away in your retirement, those dollars don't buy the same goods and services today. So you thought you were working for $50,000 a year or $100,000 a year. You thought you were. But when you accepted that salary, you accepted it because your mortgage costs X and your food costs Y and your car costs Z, and you could manage and you understood the value of that money. But you take that same money today and it can't do those things. So then how do you successfully maintain your lifestyle in retirement? That's the shame of it. The disgrace of it is Americans work their whole life and then they have to downsize in their retirement because their money can't maintain the lifestyle that they earned and should be able to maintain for the rest of their life. And, you know, this is just a tragedy. It's an American tragedy, actually.
It absolutely is, and so under-talked about. And I'm so grateful you're here to educate us on that. Director of Education, Augusta Precious Metals, Devlin Steele, for a couple more minutes. All right. I'm curious but cautious. What like, I guess, what do I need to learn? What advice do I need? Where do I need, what do I need to take away from this before I make any big decisions about metals or gold and silver?
That the world is rapidly changing. The dollar, AI, robotics, you know, even blockchain, all of these things are going to be dramatic changes over the next 3 to 5 years, dramatic. And the dollar is going to go through some major changes too. And if people want to be successful in the new world and really in where money is going and where power is going, the wealth divide is getting bigger. They have to diversify more. They can't have everything in paper assets. That's just exposing yourself to whatever the market does and whatever the dollar does. You want to have something in a diversified portfolio. You're going to want to have some gold and silver. And I got to tell you, I don't know anyone who's bought gold and silver over the last 5-6 years who's upset.
Right.
You know, gold and silver have outperformed the S&P 500 this year. These are hedging and maintaining and gaining purchasing power when other assets simply aren't. It's important. Learn about it. That's my, don't trust me and just buy. Learn, get educated. No one is going to teach you on your own. You have to take your retirement and your financial health into your own hands, and you have to seek education.
Okay, for retirement savings for the next 2 or 3 years, are there key signs I should be looking at to like preserve those or jump into metals? What should I be looking for over the next couple of years?
Continued central bank gold buying, which they are. Continued de-dollarization, which they are. Continued inflation. And then Federal Reserve moving from, right now they're stopping quantitative tightening, which means they're maintaining the balance sheet. When they go into easing, then all bets are off. Meaning they're going to, we went through that 2008 to 2011. We went through that 2020 with the pandemic. When we go through, when we move from maintaining the balance sheet to easing, it's like putting the accelerator down, and you're going to see massive printing going on, money printing going on.
All right. Finally, 2020, have we hit the ceiling? Like if I'm looking to say, okay, I want gold in 2026, what is there a ceiling, or are we going to bust through that again in the next year or two?
I see nothing. I mean, listen, I can't give guarantees, but, you know, I've been doing this a long time. I'm turning 64 in a couple of weeks. I've been literally...
Your 64 looks a lot different than my 60s, brother. You look a lot better, so I love it.
It's I have filters on this. It's all... but, you know, the what is happening now is this wealth shift and dollar losing purchasing power. No one is going to take care of you. You have to take matters into your own hands. Gold and silver, I see moving up continually, because I ask people this one question. Do you see your dollar, and answer this for me, Sean, do you see the dollars you have buying more for you, the same dollars? Will you be able to buy more with them in a year from now, 2 years, or 3 years from now?
No,
or will you be less, right?
Yeah, far less.
So,
yeah.
So think of it this way: gold and silver don't really go up. What happens is the dollar goes down, and it takes more dollars to buy the same amount of gold and silver. So, if you believe the dollar is going to buy less in 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, then you already believe gold and silver is going to be worth more in 1 year, 2 year, 3 years, 4 years, and 5 years.
There you go. Text Sean to 35052 or click the link in the description and go in there. And he's the director of education. You saw educating us, give you a chance. Before you jump into anything, educate it. And we got 15 minutes of formal education the right way, my man. Devlin, I look forward to more of this. And thank you for enlightening not only us, but me pre this show last week and now. And our listeners and viewers will obviously have to take this to heart because, well, it's their retirement and their future. So
absolutely,
we appreciate you. And I look forward to it. Happy Thanksgiving to you, my man. And we'll do this again soon.
Thank you. You too.
I appreciate it. You're great. Bye-bye. Thank you. That's Devlin Steele, Director of Education at Augusta Precious Metals and SEGS. Was on with him about 10 days ago. We got on and started talking, and I immediately, because I understand how people, if you're not taught right, it can bore you. You're like, what is it? It feels like it's uncomfortable, but you got to get comfortable being uncomfortable. Because once you're in it, as you heard him say, there's no, it's far less, it's far more comfortable than the dollar. Yeah. And it is. They're going down. If it sits there the same, you're going to have to spend more dollars to buy more gold. You know what I'm saying? So, and to buy more of what you want when it comes to the economy. And he had also told me in 26, 27, he doesn't think there's a slowdown. He thinks it's going to continue to explode. So jump all over it. That's Augusta Precious Metals. And thanks to Devlin Steele. He is a phenomenal educator when it comes to the finances and how to handle precious metals and what it means to all of you guys out there and all of us for our futures and our retirement. So there you go, Six. Yeah. Good stuff.
Definitely some enlightening stuff. Back to sports. Last night we had the college football playoff rankings come out. We didn't see a ton of movement, but we saw Oregon jump Ole Miss after their win over USC. We saw Miami jump Utah after their win over.
Told you I was concerned about that Miami space, Segs, at 11 to 13 range. That one got that one concerned me a little bit for the University of Utah. I don't think it should have happened, but it did concern me.
Yes, and Utah played a close home game against Kansas State, so those two swap. And then the big jump was Michigan from 18 to 15 after the USC loss. After with they jumped Texas in the same breath there. So now Michigan, they're setting up that, okay, you beat Ohio State, you could make that jump into, you know, into the playoff. But again, we have to remember that that 11th and 12th spot is set for the highest ranked ACC team, which is now Miami, which they're in the 12th, which would push them up to 11. And then the group of five team, which right now is Tulane at 24. So,
well, so is that James Madison battling for that as well?
James Madison's in there. North Texas is in there. But right now it's Tulane.
And Coach Morse, their head coach, is going to take the head coaching job at Oklahoma State. He's coaching out for North Texas. He's going to finish out, I think, before he leaves, unless that's changed over the case. That's what I thought.
And we're still waiting to see if Sumrall from Tulane takes another job. There's talk of Auburn. I think he's probably waiting to see what happens at LSU because I think he's in that mix. But obviously, if Lane takes the LSU job, that takes that away from him. But he could be a candidate for Ole Miss.
Yeah, you're going to be the second choice at Florida or LSU behind Lane. Regardless, Lane Kiffin takes one. You're the second choice at the other place, whoever that is. You're not the first choice at either place.
I do think Sumrall gets the Auburn job if he does not get Ole Miss or LSU. I think
I respect that. I think he's a hell of a football coach.
Yes.
Segs with this. Go ahead. Do you have a question about it?
Yeah, I was just going to say, what did you think of the Oregon jumping Ole Miss? Are they setting it up for what we talked about yesterday, where if Lane says he's leaving and he's not coaching, we could see Ole Miss? I wouldn't be surprised if some of these two lost teams, an OU or a Notre Dame, if they win this weekend, jump Ole Miss. And even with one loss, even if they win the Egg Bowl, because Lane Kiffin means that much to the to Ole Miss and to the Rebels. And
if you're Ole Miss,
like they're setting it up.
Yeah, if you're they're setting it up to give you a prostate check on this one, Sakes. Ole Miss. They are. The doctor's got a foam finger, but it's not foam. Does that make sense? Yeah. I'm curious if Oregon, I know they beat SC. It's a big win. And Ole Miss, who they beat last week? They hammered somebody last. Who they beat last week, Sakes? I can't even remember. I can't remember who they, but they won. Or were they bye? Did they have bye week last week?
I want to say they had a
bye week. They did. They did have a bye week because I think Kiffin was watching his son play high school football doing all that. So they had a bye week. You don't play, get jumped. Okay, so if you want to, we talked about yesterday, we didn't see any change in the top five, and we didn't think we'd see movement in the top 10, yet Oregon's win over SC held water. Okay, so even if we get it, would the decision have been made by the committee? And I wish the committee guy wouldn't call Reese Davis Richard, but that's a Rich. That I think in the beginning called him Rich. So I feel like they're making rules as they go along, which bothers me.
100%.
Okay, no disrespect to Oregon. But with Ole Miss, I already think that shot's got into their veins about just the talk of him leaving is market is knocking these kids down. If you're Ole Miss, you're sitting there saying, goes back to what I said yesterday, Segs, I want this push to the point where we don't have the option of worrying about a coach leaving now, because everybody gets the same option once this is all over. And even if you made this decision the second the playoff started, most coaches wouldn't leave during the playoff anyway. They'd coach it up somehow, some way, so these kids don't suffer. Ole Miss got hammered. Yes, Oregon got a win, but during a bye week, they got hammered because of all the speculation. That took this over the top of Lane Kiffin. And if he leaves, I'm telling you right now, Notre Dame and OU will jump them as long as they take care of their business. And I'm just telling you, even Ole Miss, they went the Egg Bowl this week, they win. And the thing is, we're supposed to get an announcement, right? And if Lane Kiffin leaves, Ole Miss wins, OU, Notre Dame, everybody takes care of their business, Ole Miss is going to drop behind those two. And you know this, right, Segs?
Yeah.
I don't think Alabama would jump them, but they're going to make it very difficult, because if you're going to punish Florida State for losing their quarterback, I would argue that the impact of Lane Kiffin is that big on Ole Miss. So you have to, if you're going to hold court like you did with Florida State. But is it fair? We're supposed to chair these assistant coaches that you say are good. If he leaves, is it fair to those kids for a guy who will not have the ball in his hand, meaning Lane Kiffin? He will have the play sheet. Is it fair to Ole Miss to be punished for losing the coach? Now, I understand if it was a player, but should they put? And we said yesterday this was going to happen. You see, and if you're going to do Florida State like that, you absolutely have to do Ole Miss like that if Lane leaves. But is it fair to those kids in Ole Miss to punish a team for a guy that is an assistant coach? You should be able to finish Lane Kiffin's sentences. Is it fair to punish him if the coach leaves, as opposed to if Kalen DeBoer were to take a job at LSU? Should we knock Alabama to 14 behind or 15 behind Vanderbilt?
Yeah.
That's my point. Are you telling, or is the Lane Kiffin impact bigger than the Kalen DeBoer impact? Maybe people think so, obviously. My whole thing is, are we doing it right, Segs? It doesn't shock me that they did him like this, and they're going to do him even dirtier if Lane Kiffin makes an announcement after the Egg Bowl that he's leaving. They will not be in the six hole next week if somebody left. If Notre Dame wins and OU wins, I'm just telling you right now, they're rolling ahead of them. And you and I both know this.
Yeah, I think so as well. We talked about Eric Morris taking the Oklahoma State job from North Texas. We have Jim Mora leaving UConn to go to Colorado State.
Yeah, why? I've known Jim a long time, and I love him and his pops, right? But this is a lateral move. Is it simply come down to he wants to be on the West Coast? What happens? Let me ask you this. What happens if Washington's head coach, Jed Fish, leaves and goes to his alma mater at Florida?
You're right.
Does Jim Mora go back home to the University of Washington? Or is it too late? Should he have waited?
I think it's too late.
Should he have waited and said, hang on a second, or did Washington not even consider it? They're assuming that Jed Fish is going to stay. So if Fish were to go to Florida, I'm just throwing this stuff against the wall, because some of this stuff actually sticks and you can't even imagine, although Kendrick Perkins' comments aren't sticking, but this may stick. But so he's taking Colorado State. What's the advantage of Colorado State over UConn, other than maybe Jim doesn't want to live on the East Coast? Is the program better? Maybe the money's going to be better? But I don't see NIL being bigger. What's the advantage? It feels so lateral move to me.
Right.
Is it just simply he trusts the people that are hiring him more? Does he like Colorado? Maybe he does better than he likes Connecticut. I don't know. Why would you take this? It's not like he's leaving for Auburn. He's leaving for Colorado State, and that's no disrespect to Colorado State, but why? What's the advantage here?
I don't get it. I saw it. And
it's got to be money and location, right?
Yes,
and maybe the AD believe. I don't know. Does he have a background with like the – I haven't looked deep into this yet, because when I saw it, I'm like – at first I had to double check thinking, is this real? And it's not to put anything on the Rams, Colorado State in a bad way. But I'm thinking, okay, sometimes when this happens, Sags, you know what it is? And Jim's done a hell of a job at UConn. When he got that, Jay went in there, and he's done a hell of a job. It makes you wonder, does he know the AD? Is the assistant AD? Is somebody in the administration, somebody he's known from his past at UCLA, at Washington, somewhere in his travels? And if not, what's the advantage of Colorado State over UConn, other than you like Colorado State and the mountains more than you like stores, and the money's bigger? But is the money bigger? I don't know. Or the years, the security? This is an odd move, if you ask me. by Jim Mora. Hell, I don't know. He does it one more year at UConn. Who knows what the biggest job is next? But Jim knows how to coach. I'm just surprised at a lateral move that he's making this move to get out of UConn.
Yeah, I'm trying to look here. John Weber is the AD there at Colorado State, and it doesn't seem like any kind of, you know, crossover between the two of them. So not sure what Mora's doing here, but I guess we'll kind of have to wait and see. And if that Washington job does come open, I don't think – I mean, you just can't do that. You can't take one job and then, oh, here's something better. I'm you know
– Although, didn't we see Belichick do that with the Giants and the NFL snakes, Weber? He took it, goes to New England, and the rest is history. I know you can't, but you can.
But you can, but I guess.
The question is Jed Fish going to leave Washington for Florida? And how big an upgrade is that? Recruiting-wise, it is. Yeah. Weather-wise, and plus, I think Jed's a Florida alum. I think he went to school there, if I'm not I think it is his alma mater. So, and he did a great job. You know, he was with Harbaugh at Michigan when you were there. So, I mean, when Harbaugh was there, then he took that Arizona job and really did one hell of a job with them.
Yep.
And he's doing another good job at Washington. So Jed Fish can coach. Just curious, if the Washington thing comes open, now where do they go? Which will be interesting to see. But Jim Mora, Colorado State, maybe he just loves the mountains and the Coors beer. I don't know, Sage, but feels like a heavy lateral move to me.
Yeah, and then we have reports. Now, none of the big names are reporting yet, but Alex Golash going from South Florida to Arkansas.
So they're going to – so that says that Petrino is just an interim guy.
Yes, and Petrino did put out basically a thank you to Arkansas letter today.
Right.
That I did see. So I didn't read it, so I don't know exactly what it said, but I did see he put out something today. So we've got some movement in the coaching carousel, but those big jobs are still open, and we're not hearing a lot about them besides Lane Kiffin. I think maybe everything's dependent on Lane Kiffin. Once Lane Kiffin takes a job or says he's staying, then boom, it'll start going, you know, fast and furious to see who goes where. Looking ahead to the weekend, Sean, tomorrow we've got three good football games. We've got Green Bay at Detroit. We got Kansas City at Dallas. And then we got Cincinnati at Baltimore. That's your Thanksgiving slate. Let's start with that first one, Green Bay at Detroit. This is a massive game in the NFC North. And I don't know which team. I know which team I like better in terms of who I think is going to win the game. But can this Green Bay defense show up and slow down this offense, where the offense isn't like we saw under Ben Johnson? It's not just this high-flying offense. They can score points still, but Dan Campbell seems it's a little, you know, the wheel's still a little squeaky with him calling plays right now. And Green Bay's got that defense with Rashawn Gary, Micah Parsons, and company, but Detroit's still really good. Who do you like in this game and just as a straight winner? And what's the biggest key to this game for you?
Yeah, I like Detroit in the game, Segs, but I could tell you this. You keep going for it on fourth down. Dan Campbell, who I friggin' love, is going to have to manage this more from a head coaching philosophy than an offensive coordinator philosophy. And what I mean by, as a head coach, you're thinking defense, special teams, what got us there, we'll get a few stops, we're at our building, I don't need to go for it on fourth and three or less or five or less, five times in a game against a rival, against a team in my division, while I'm battling. That doesn't make play scared, but you got to play a little smarter. Head coach looks at it from three ways. My special teams will get us off the field. Our defense will get a stop, bam, and then our offense will make plays, and we can do that. I don't want you to back off aggressiveness, but there is a sense of aggressiveness and overboard. Right. On the other side is, and the head coach, you're looking at, as an offensive coordinator, says, you know what you're thinking? Screw that. These are my guys. I've been in the meeting with them all. Let's go. We're going to go for it all the time. I'm going to tell you what you're going to chance your way into. I would just ask him this. If Ben Johnson were there and calling your plays against the Green Bay Packers at home and you got a lead or it's close, are you allowing Ben Johnson to go for it five times on fourth down? That answer would be no, because as a head coach, you say, trust our defense, trust our special teams, trust our field goal kicker. Let's get some points here and go away. And that will be a key. I love Detroit's aggressiveness, but Segs, dare I say, I got to grab them. I got to horse collar them and say, play smarter, because this defense will put you in binds. I actually think it's Detroit's defense that's going to end up making the difference in the game. Give me Detroit, and the one key is aggressive when necessary. But every now and then playing a little more cautious might serve you well in this game at home.
Yeah. Second game, Kansas City at Dallas. Is this a must win for Kansas City as they, you know, still flounder right around 500 at 6-5? Do they need to win this game against Dallas?
Psychologically, they do, Segs. I think they're not winning the division, so their mindset has to be on: if we get in, we're dangerous. And I still think they are dangerous. They've got good speed on the perimeter now offensively. Here's what I think: both offenses can score and will in this game, Segs. Both can. Then I would ask you, if it comes down to fourth quarter and getting a stop, who do you trust more offensively and who do you trust more defensively? You know that answer, right? Right. And that answer would be the Kansas City Chiefs for me. So if you're the Dallas Cowboys at home, short week, Kansas City had a short week, the emotion of the Chiefs and the Cowboys, who both had to come from behind and leave a bunch on the field on Sunday to get to this point to be ready for Thursday. But then I think, okay, in this situation late in the season, who have we trusted more the last decade? We know that answer. Gimme Spagnuolo over Eberflus in this one. Gimme Kansas City. I do believe it's a must win. Now, does it mathematically eliminate him? No. But you can't keep going 1-1 and 1-1 right, or 4 and then lose 2. They can't go through this. So for their psychological aspect and for the fear factor they can send to the rest of the AFC, I think it is a must win. Gimme advantage, Kansas City. I know it's Thanksgiving. It's the Cowboys' day. I just think the Kansas City Chiefs defense is going to be better. Look for Chris Jones to show up when everybody in the world's watching when it comes to the football world. Give me the Chiefs defense getting the stop they need, although I still think both offenses will score points.
Yeah. How about the night game? We got the Bengals at the Ravens, and by all accounts, it looks like Joe Burrow will start the game for the Bengals tomorrow night. What do you expect from Burrow?
I think Joe Burrow is going to play well. I do. Sags, I just don't think they have enough defensive ammunition to stop Baltimore. I think Baltimore's starting to roll. And even Lamar hasn't even got into full-fledged Lamar yet.
Right.
And if I'm not mistaken, since Burrow and Lamar have been in this league, Baltimore's dominated Cincinnati. And I don't see any reason why in watching both teams play. Let's take the quarterbacks out. Who's the better team? Baltimore still is. Right, because they defensively, I think they're more active, and I think they're more physical. They just have been. And I like their offensive line more. Steady diet of the run game for them. I think there's going to be a tendency, if you're Zach Taylor, to want to throw the football around and get Joe going. Because if you don't, I don't think they can win just lining up and playing physical, punch you in the mouth, because their defense won't get enough stops on the other guys. And I think you're going to see Lamar with a little more feet involved in this game.
Yeah.
While I think Burrow, listen, Burrow's such a wild card because when he can go 35 of 42 in the game, Segs. But if they have to throw it that much, they won't win. They'll be playing from behind. Give me Baltimore at home. I think Baltimore will continue to prove why that they are danger with a flashing neon side heading into December and through December. I think they're going to win the division, and I think that Burrow will keep it for a minute in the end. I think Baltimore pulls away in this game.
Black Friday at 2, we have that's 2 Central. We have the Bears and the Eagles in Philly. What do you expect out of this game? We're still waiting to hear about the Bears' defense, how healthy they'll be if they get Jalen Johnson, Kyler Gordon back, which would be huge for them. We know they force a lot of turnovers, but can they force the Eagles to turn the ball over?
Yeah, on Thanksgiving Day, that the biggest performance in those games, you know, the old turducken, is going to be spread around through a bunch of these guys. And so you get the leftover turducken the next day. Segs, at this point, it'd be very, as much as I love the way Chicago's doing it, and the truth is, a lot of similarities that we talked about even the week before with Chicago and Philly. Winning games that are close, it's not been pretty, even though it flipped on Philadelphia. But we also said that if you're going to keep toying with this type of offensive performance, eventually somebody's going to get you, and the Cowboys did. Chicago living there, and this is a pretty thrilling, I mean, it really is, even though the statistics may not wow you, the spectacular part of the feet and the arm with these quarterbacks, the off-schedule stuff with his arm for Caleb, as you saw, you sent me that yesterday on Twitter, doing that stuff. And then the ability to wear you out with 15 carries, meaning Jalen Hurts, which also will enhance the Saquon Barkley stuff. As much as I love what Chicago's doing, and it's a huge weekend in that division, Philadelphia at home, coming off what happened to them, Segs, they were embarrassed because a rival beat them, and they had a big lead. I would expect, even though it's a short week, that Saquon Barkley he's going to rear his head in this game, and he needs to, because the numbers have gone down, and the Bears, the injury thing, how healthy will they be defensively? Give me the Eagles. Closer than people might want to think. The Bears, I do think, are real, but the Eagles are a better all-around team, even though Caleb's made some plays. I think the Eagles' defense, this to me is a defensive theme this week, Segs. Yeah. It really is. Meaning, even in the Detroit game, are you willing to put your defense in a bind if you're going to go for it on fourth down instead of take points if you're Dan Campbell? I like Philadelphia in the game. I'm not sure I'd be as comfortable if they were on the road, but I think Philadelphia, and had they won last week, Segs, I think it would have set up for the Chicago Bears to jump. I think it's a close one, like a low 20s type of game.
Yeah.
But I'm going to get in the low to mid 20s. But I think Philadelphia finds a way to pull it out at home after they were embarrassed in the second half and a lot of talking. You know the chatter that's going on the radio stations and stuff in Philly this
week. Oh, yeah, for sure. Let's jump to college. We got a couple other NFL games, but let's jump to college. The two biggest games of the weekend. Let's start in Texas. Texas A&M, number 3, undefeated. Travels to Austin to take on number 16, Texas. This is a game where, while Texas can't spoil Texas A&M season by knocking them out of the college football playoffs, they can maybe take a bye away from them with this win. So what do you think in this game? Can Arch and company and that really good Texas defense, can they do enough to slow down Texas A&M?
I think the best quarterback in the game is going to end up being from College Station. I think that his broken play feet, even though Arch is capable of it too, is going to make a few plays. I think they've elevated. I do. And while both teams have physicality, the Longhorns haven't faced an A&M team that's this physical in a while. While Texas is physical, I know the game's in Austin, and I know the advantage is, when I said College Station, I'm just talking about the quarterbacks from College Station, meaning A&M's quarterback, that while hard place, I've been in that building and watched my Trojans get beat, and I know it's going to be going crazy. I'm just saying, when all fails, who's the better quarterback in the game and which team's better? And I'll tell you right now that Texas, to me, is not worthy of a berth in the 12 right now. We'll have a different conversation if they're able to go kick A&M's ass. I think A&M's just a better team.
Yeah.
And I think A&M's versatility is going to prove worthy in this. And while both are physical, you're going to come out of this saying A&M's the more physical team. Give me A&M on the road to win outright.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting if Texas does lose. That would make them 8-4. And we've already heard, and we had Dez talking about Sarkisian and that job and everything. What happens there in Austin if they do lose this game? And then, you know, what I would put up as the biggest rivalry in college football, it's Michigan-Ohio State. Last year, it was hands down Ohio State's going to win by 3-plus touchdowns, no doubt. Michigan reared their head, won 13-10. Michigan basically played all last year without a quarterback. I mean, that's essentially what they did. Now they have Bryce Underwood, who's a freshman, playing in his first time in this rivalry, but they're at home. Do you give Michigan any chance in this game?
Yeah, I do. And Segs, what's the number? I know we'll get to bet. What's the
what are they sitting at right now? It's at 9.5 is what I have.
The gambler right now, they don't have a lot of respect for Michigan at home in this one. They just don't. Right. And they hold Ohio State, rightfully so, in the highest regard. We'll get to the pick and the gambling part of it. I actually think it's going to be a very close game. We use this term when we talk about all the bad teams, but you could throw out the records when these two teams get together, because the one thing Ohio State hasn't been able to handle at times during Ryan Day's tenure with Michigan is their ability to pound them physically. Now, is Michigan that same team? We're going to find out. They weren't that same team against USC.
Right.
And how big, and I don't think it's too big, Segs, it'll be at home, but this is a great opportunity for Underwood to take another step in the wow factor moment for him. He can't, if he plays average, Michigan's going to get curb stomped.
Yeah.
Now, with saying that, they absolutely cannot back off putting the ball in the freshman's hands and let him use his legs and arm.
Right.
You throw it 14 times in this game, unless you're running it for 300 yards. And we've seen that in this matchup too, Segs, over the last 3 or 4 years. So it comes down to, are they afraid to turn Underwood loose in a game like this? Because we know Ohio State's going to the playoffs. Michigan is sitting on a fence right now with an opportunity to do it. They cannot win this game without should I say, full go. Well, like I said, I just call it the wow factor. Wow factor performance by their quarterback. I think it's going to be closer than you think. I got Ohio State in the game because I just think they're a better team. Mm-hmm. My concern is, will they turn Underwood loose? And when they do, is that DNA different for this freshman than most freshmen and or veterans for that matter? We know what kind of skill set he has. He's never played in a bigger game in his life. He's got a chance to do that in this one. Closer than we think in this game. I'll take Ohio State.
Yeah, it'll be interesting because last year what I think helped Michigan was they were a veteran bunch. Now
and the big fellas up front too. Yeah.
Yes, you have five freshmen starting on offense or playing big roles on this offense for Michigan, including the quarterback. So now we saw Justin Sains will not play. He's out for the year, which is a big loss for Michigan. Jordan Marshall, we've seen play well in this game, including last year. But they found something last week with a kid that had barely touched the ball in Kuzdal. He went out and ran for 5 yards of carry, 100 yards, had a touchdown. And they just
what depth does for you, Segs. That's how you find out who the backup, how good backups are in the league, right? In college football.
So it's going to be, I think it's really going to come down to, and the other part we got to talk about, Jeremiah Smith, Carnell Tate are not healthy. They're not even for sure playing in this game. Ryan Day said today that they're giving everything they can to play in this game. So that's going to be something to watch.
Yeah, Segs, the big play, because they have that in their offense, being Ohio State. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad we hit on this because I don't think Ohio State can just line up without having the effectiveness of spreading the field, of getting big plays in space. Because, listen, Michigan knows how to punch back. They always have, especially in this game, because there's a different feel when you're playing in a rivalry game. That's why even though USC playing against UCLA, I'm going to give UCLA a chance simply because it's a rivalry game and you played against those dudes in high school and all the talk for a year. So while we talked about Underwood and the quarterback of Michigan, what happens when you lose guys and or guys are hurt, Segs? You're either trying to find out early how hurt or healthy they are if you're the quarterback. But secondly, there's always looming in the back of your mind. I know I've been there. I remember a game when I've told you this, when Brian Billick said, hey, we had like four running backs hurt and said, it's you and me. So while I wanted to win, still in the back of my mind knowing I got to force that ball in a little tighter window because if I'm not making those throws, we really are one-dimensional this game because of injury. So as a quarterback, as a starting quarterback and getting your opportunity, there has got to be that exists, Segs, that says, how much space are they going to have? What am I going to have to do as the quarterback, depending on the injuries? And how long do I got them if they play and how healthy are they? And you're going to find out early. Because if you're Ohio State and Ryan Day, what are you doing early, Segs? Aren't you figuring out or trying to send a message to see how can I get through this game with these guys? That's what you got to go. And then the quarterback's mentality of, because what happens when guys are hurt, Segs? I know this from talking to guys far better than me. You feel like you have to play a hero game. We've talked about it a lot of times. The biggest problem a quarterback ever faces is, well, if you're ill-prepared, you're not playing with your eyes open. But secondly is feeling like you have to be a hero in a rivalry or in a big game, especially when a couple of your stars are not at full strength.
Right. Yeah, so it'll be interesting to watch because Michigan still has that outside shot at the college football playoffs with a win. Last year they didn't even have that. Last year they were, I think, 6-3 going into this game, or maybe 5-4. And again, they didn't have a quarterback, and they still went out there and won in Columbus and planted that flag in the middle. We'll see with this young team, this very young group at Michigan, if they can do that. But it'll be fascinating to watch. All right, before we get out of here, well, first of all, USC UCLA, it's your school, your rivalry.
Won't be close.
USC, yes, I was just gonna say USC needs to put belt to ass here and just whoop on this.
Yeah, Segs, it'll be belt to ass with a big old belt, a big old country belt buckle on them because this is, while I told you that I understand, they always make me nervous because of rivalry games, but let's face fact, if they both play their best, the SC hangs 40 on them. I'm just telling you they do. I mean, especially you're reeling too after last week because you were pretty disappointing. Even though offensively you're good, they made some mistakes that cost them last week. I think USC's kicking UCLA's ass.
Yeah.
All right, and by the way, last night, real quick, congratulations to Tennessee. Segs, we took the over in the game and got it. But I'll tell you the one thing is that Tennessee did a nice job, and University of Houston, who was number 3 in the country, got beat in their hoop game. We both had Houston, but we both had the over. So depending on which one you bet, there you go.
Did you watch Michigan just destroy Auburn in front of Bruce Pearl, who at one point in the game, Michigan, I don't even remember which player it was on Michigan, took the ball to the hole with a nice move and made a layup. Bruce Pearl talked about how good the defender was on that play. He got beat. I mean, it was a really bad list with Bruce Pearl watching his Auburn and his son coach Auburn against Michigan, and Michigan just put it to him.
Michigan's pretty good, dude. Yeah. Michigan's pretty damn good hoops team, let alone football team. They're playing good basketball.
If you want to watch a great game tonight, I think it's 8:30 Central, Michigan Gonzaga. Probably the two best front courts in America going to be going against each other. It's going to be a must-watch game, and that's for the championship of that Players Era Festival.
Yeah, I can't wait to see it. That's going to be a blast to watch the big fellas get after it in front court, no doubt.
Do you like this new, they call it a festival they have, where it's not your normal tournament where it's a bracket play. It is, you play two games, and then it goes by point differential. So, like, Michigan, you max out at 20. Michigan had plus 40, so they're playing in the tournament. Gonzaga won, I think, plus 29 or something. Tennessee gets left out despite beating Houston. They're going to play for third, fourth place. And the winner, so if Michigan or Gonzaga wins, they get $1 million in NIL money. Loser gets $500,000 into their NIL pool.
It's a change-up. We got all these other tournaments to play it straight, right? You win, right. You advance to the final and do it.
Right.
I kind of like it. So we don't have anybody bitching over, well, you run it up. Why are you shooting? Why am I shooting threes? I'll tell you why I'm shooting threes. There's $1 million about to come into our program, right? So, yes, I care about that. We get all the, you know, the chalk stock tournament, the stock shot, the things you do. This is what we do. I like it. I like the incentive. I like the fact that I got my foot on your throat. Now I'm going to twist it. I do. And listen, while Tennessee, I'm sure now they want it, but guess what? You ain't hammering somebody and you don't have the point differential. It's kind of a cool change up in the holiday season, and we're getting some really good basketball. And a 16-point lead with 4 minutes to go, Segs, you're still trying to extend it. Yeah. You know, you're still kicking ass. So you're damn right you are. You're
20 maxes it, so you want to win by 21.
And I got news for you. The difference between $1 million and $500,000, well, it's $500,000, but that's a lot of iron there, buddy. So I actually do like it's a nice little change-up pitch. It's like when a golf tournament does the skins game, which we're seeing again. The skins game's coming back. Xander Schauffele and those guys, the silly season part of it. I kind of like it. We haven't had the skins game in a long time. They used to play it out. Palm does. It's kind of a nice little change-up with all the stuff they're going to add. So I like for sure.
All right, let's end the show as we do every single week with our six-pack of picks. We'll do 3 NFL, 3 college. Let's start in the NFL. Green Bay at Detroit. Detroit, as you see, is a field goal favorite at home. 48.5 is the over-under.
I'm taking Detroit. If there was a hook on that, I would probably say Green Bay. I'm taking Detroit at home. And, you know, Segs, the easy part would say to say these two with the – and it's Thanksgiving, they're going to be rolling. The 27-24 gets you the over. Give me the over in Detroit. Even though I think a defensive stop's going to happen – I think they'll be smart, take points, give me the over, and Detroit, as good as Green Bay's defense is, it's an indoor and a fast track. I'm going to take Detroit at -3, and I'll take the over.
Yeah, I got Detroit -3 as well, and the over. I see it exactly like you do. Maybe like a 20 or 31-24 type game, I think. Agreed. I see here for Detroit. Chicago at Philly. Philly, a touchdown favorite.
Go ahead. What do you think? This is your team. What do you think?
I'm going based off what we've seen from Chicago. They're playing a ton of close games, so I think they keep it inside a touchdown. I don't know if they'll win the game, but I do like Chicago +7, and I like the under 44.5.
Both for me. I think this is a 6-point, 2 field goal type game, Segs. I do somewhere, and I got the under as well. I think it's 21-20. I think it's 23-20 type game, Philly. But I think Chicago gets inside that number. And they're making enough plays, and we've seen it even against Philadelphia. And I got to see Philadelphia's offense explode before I can give them a 3. I mean, I do, to the point where it's like, wow. Mm-hmm. I like the under, and I like Chicago in the game as well.
Yeah. All right. Then we got a big game on Sunday in that AFC South. We've got the Houston Texans traveling to Indianapolis. take on the Colts. Colts a 4.5-point favorite with that 44.5 total.
Give me the over.
Okay.
Even though Houston's defense, give me the over in this one because Houston's offense is moving it around a little bit. I like Houston's offense to get inside the number. I think Indianapolis is winning the game at home, but I do think it's a field goal game, and I'm taking the over. So I got Houston and the over, but if I was picking it straight, I would take the Indianapolis Colts. This is a three-point game, and give me the over.
I got Indy to cover the 4.5, and I like the under.
Fair enough. So you're looking at this to be like a 17-13, 21-17 game type of thing.
Yeah, something along those lines.
No, you said take it. It would have to be 21-14, 28.
Yeah, something along those lines, right in there.
Yeah, but you said you got the under or the over? Sex under?
Under.
Okay, so you're looking in the high teens, low 20 type of game. Got you.
Give me like, here, I'll pick it. 21-13 Indy, 44 hits. The hook saves me.
Okay, perfect. So, yeah, now what I tell you, I got Houston in the over. Okay,
Houston
there you go.
In the over. A&M at Texas. A&M's a 2.5-point road favorite, 51.5 on the over, under.
I'm taking A&M and giving the points.
All right. I've got A&M, lay those 2.5, and I think it'll be under.
But the under for me, as I said during our thing, feels pretty obvious to me. I think this is like a 27-24 game, Segs. I do. And A&M wins. And the hook on both, I mean, A&M, you know, 2.5, if it was at 3, possible push. And I think they get just barely on the under. Hence why they put 51.5, because they're not wrong, Ralph. But I like A&M, and I also like the under.
Georgia at Georgia Tech, the Battle of Georgia. Georgia's a 13.5-point road favorite.
I'm taking the over in Georgia Tech, even though I think Georgia's one of the more dangerous teams in the country. I think Haynes King has a chance to prove something again this week. Georgia's going to win the game, but on that bet, I am going to bet this. I'm going to bet Georgia Tech, and I am actually going to take the under at 59.5.
Okay, yeah, give me.
Did I say? I mean, I'm taking the over. Yes, okay. The over, because I think both teams' quarterbacks can make enough plays. And I think Haynes King, we talk about two-dimensional quarterbacks, he is going to have to use his feet. But I think points can be had. And there'll be some big plays in this because you'll get some pressure from defenses. But I still think Georgia Tech, while Georgia's better, I think Georgia Tech can keep it in there, even if it's a backdoor cover. That's a lot of points on the road.
Yeah, I've give me the points in Georgia Tech as well. I think they keep it closer than that 13.5. But I'm taking the under. 59.5 just
I think you're. I think the under is safer.
Yeah,
I just think that Georgia Tech's going to put up more points than people think.
Yeah, and then our Ohio State-Michigan matchup, 40 or minus 9.5 with a 43.5 over-under.
I got Michigan at plus 9.5. I'm gonna take a little wild flyer on this. I would not bet the points on this, the over-under, should I say, the big number. I would probably take the under on this and Michigan. Because I think that for Michigan to beat Ohio State, I think it's going to have to be the under.
Yeah.
So if they beat them outright. But I like Michigan. I think it's a touchdown game, 7-8 points. Ohio State will win, but I got Michigan with the under and plus 9.5.
Give me the over. I had to double check that. I thought maybe I had a typo in there at 43.5. I know it's Michigan, Ohio State, and the defenses are really good, but I had to quick check where I get our stuff from and make sure that was the number. And it is. It's actually went down. It started at 44.5 and went down to 43.5. I'm never
but picking you're taking
Ohio
the
State.
Over. Right.
Yes. Give me the over. Sean, call it now. Give me the Michigan money line. Fifth time in a row. And
that won't sit well with Ohio State fans, even though they got a chance to win another national championship. This is something that will be in their craw. Yeah. I'm not so sure it'd be a bad thing for Ohio State moving forward, but you know, sometimes and losing's never fun, but sometimes a swift kick. I was watching Jack Nicklaus and they were covering his career. Tom Selleck is voicing it over on Golf Channel, Segs, and just his career and all his majors and wins. And when he was young at Cherry Hills, he had a chance. He was in the U.S. Open with Arnold Palmer. Palmer won it. And he said the greatest thing that ever happened in his career was not winning, Nicklaus not winning that U.S. Open, because it helped him to humble up a little bit and go back. And so can that apply to a team sport? Sure. Could it apply to Ohio State to lose again to Michigan and still go on and win a national title? It wouldn't hurt my feelings for your team, Segs, because it's you. I'm pulling for you in this one. But it's going to take their best effort this year.
It
and
will.
You and I both know that, no question. Yeah.
Definitely, definitely. All right. Well, that'll do it for us.
Don't you have a video for me you wanted to show? Is there something?
Oh, yeah. Yes, that's right.
I'm not going to let that go because you teased this and I don't even know what that is.
Completely forgot. I forgot to write it down. Okay. This is, we talked about Kendrick Perkins being dumb.
His comment was dumb.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
His comment about Shakur Sanders being the most powerful black man since Barack Obama, President Obama, in 2009. There couldn't be a more ignorant comment across the world yesterday.
Yes. Well, I'm not even sure when she was on. I think the show, it was the episode last night. I'm pretty sure it was Jimmy Kimmel. To be honest, what she said, I was so shocked by what she said. I didn't even really look at the host. I'm pretty sure it was Jimmy Kimmel. But this is actress Kate Beckinsale talking about her daughter's boyfriend. That's all I'm going to give you. Now, you just sit and listen to this little conversation they have.
He laid two eggs in a week is what the bright spot was.
Who did?
The boyfriend did.
He laid two eggs in a week. Is that a British
thing? Well, no, he's from New Jersey. He's a Jew from New Jersey.
What does that mean, he's laid two eggs in a week?
Well, he said, I've laid an egg. And, of course, I was like, okay, trying to pull focus on the cancer operation, you know. But it had a shell and a yolk.
Hold on a second.
Yeah.
An egg came out of his body?
Yes. I'm not out of his mouth or ears. It came out the root that it would come out of a hen.
It came out of his egg hole.
Well, not his vagina. Yeah. I mean, he went to the bathroom and then was very surprised to find that he had laid an egg. He was genuinely scared and he was like, it's got a full shell, it's got a yolk, and, you know...
What?
It's the size of a bird. Well, he crushed
it.
Yes, he crushed it to see what was inside. A yolk was inside.
At first, when she said it, I was thinking that she meant he laid an egg, meaning he got somebody pregnant.
Right.
That's what I would think, that's like maybe a British way. You know, we all have our sayings. Like, they'll drop a C-tail. The Brits will drop a C-tail.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's just in their everyday conversation, affectionately. Where if you and I drop a C-tail, be like, what the hell did you call them?
Right.
So I'm thinking to myself, because I didn't say that, and it was Kimmel. And he didn't know. And right now, as we sit, he probably still doesn't understand, and neither do I. But I thought she meant that that got somebody pregnant, laid an egg, you know, the sperm, laid two, meaning that somebody's pregnant with twins. So is she actually telling me he had an egg come out of his asshole?
Is that what she's saying? Yes.
Or out of the head of his pecker? Which one?
Nope, but.
Out of his asshole. He had an egg come out of his asshole.
Twice.
Two eggs.
Different times is what I gather.
Who is this, Big Bird? How's an egg come out of his asshole?
I want to know
the egg.
Is he one of these weirdos that, like, does he claim that he's a chicken?
There's enough people that claim that, dude, in this day and age,
dogs,
it would not shock
cats,
me.
They're dinosaurs. I don't know what else. I mean, it wouldn't shock me if someone's a chicken.
If I see a video of that guy talking to a rooster next to him and that thing howling in the morning and this is his dude and he's running around a cave, I'm done, man. I'm done with the Brit thing. I'm done with it's got to be a metaphor to something. There's no way the guy had an egg come out of his asshole. Unless
Kimmel
he stuffed it up
like
there beforehand.
Times.
I know. I don't know whether I'm supposed to laugh
or wonder
if this guy's a freak show. I mean, it's bad enough that people identify as stuff that they're not. So this dude is now. So now I'm going to take it the next step. Did he get banged by a chicken? A rooster? Did somebody deliver pound cake to his ass? Literally? How in the world is a human being laying an egg? She can't be serious. It's got to be a metaphor, right? It absolutely has to be. And we're all sitting here wondering, well, she's just playing. The joke's all on us, right?
And you can't tell because her whole goddamn face is plastic. It doesn't move, so you can't tell if she's joking or not. I mean, she needs to be recycled when she dies because she's so much plastic. What happened to her? She used to be gorgeous, and now she's just a plastic face weirdo. Oh,
dude, if you tried to pinch her cheek, you couldn't grab anything,
just
dude. It might right shatter. Off,
just like a bot, like this bottle, like you just like this right here. I mean, what?
Yeah, it's like putting the fake mask on that you'd wear for Halloween, but yes, it's real. Yes,
yeah.
Okay, I digress, but I'm still trying to figure out how a human being, unless you stuffed it up there yourself to warm it, and then you, I can't tell you, dude. I'm trying to, because I normally would laugh like, oh, what a funny metaphor. No, the guy doubled down on an egg. So what happened? Did the egg form?
I don't know, Sean. You can ask me all the questions you want.
Did it form, or did somebody stuff one up there because the guy's really a freaky weirdo? Which one is it?
Well, I mean, that's her.
I tried to get the better. He got somebody pregnant. That's what I thought. Well, babe, you're letting the mother know that you got her daughter pregnant, and we found out that she has twins. That's the way I took it at first. But now that I know that it didn't come out of his pecker, it came out of his ass. Did he step on, like, you know how a hen will sit on the egg to warm it up? Eggs. I grew up on a farm and we had to go out there and get the eggs every morning for breakfast. So this dude, did he go out to the chicken coop, sit down there, hatch a few eggs, come back in and say, you're not going to believe it, man? Because I would have asked if it was my daughter, and that's how the son-in-law or future son-in-law would have presented it to me, or if they were married, I would have said, this is how you're telling me my daughter's pregnant with twins? Right. I was giving him the benefit of the doubt on the pregnancy, but if he literally did hatch an egg, then we're in a whole different
and I just
rarefied air that now we got humans that can sit on an egg and it comes out of their ass. No, I'm out.
I just checked with Google AI and it tells me that humans cannot lay eggs. So
this guy is he's a weirdo. And he stuffed it up his ass and kept it warm for somebody, whatever that is. I don't get. It's got to be a metaphor. There's no way. And for Kate Beckinsale, yeah. How far she went from the penthouse to the outhouse in a hurry with that look.
Holy crap. I mean, yeah, I saw that and I was just like, I got to get your reaction because I didn't know how to react.
Well, you can't tell with her reaction if she, you know, somebody would laugh and furrow their brow. She can't because her forehead's pulled so damn tight and her face is pulled so damn tight. You wouldn't know where a wrinkle is. You couldn't find a wrinkle anywhere for that matter.
She looks like remember the Saw movies, the guy with white mask with the red circles, like that's what her cheeks look like. And
well, next time she's going to be coming in and riding in on a three-wheel trike, you know, how when they have the trike when that guy hey, do you want to play a game, Sex? Well, apparently the game they're playing is some dude hatched two eggs out of his ass. That's about the time I call the daughter and say, honey, time to find a new man. It's got to be a metaphor. It absolutely has to be.
And then maybe the weirdest part of it is he cracked it after he like had it or hatched it or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, don't just at least preserve the egg so we can do some research. But I ain't the one going to do the research on that.
No,
I'm out.
Get me away from that egg.
I'm out. All right. Well, as we real quick before we go, I don't even know how I can get to the food part after this.
Yeah, enjoy your turkey.
Turkey? Dude, I went to pick my fresh turkey up today. Yeah, well, it ain't coming out of anybody's ass, I can tell you that. But hopefully this isn't one of the turkeys that this dude happened to have, right?
You might
have. So, 23-pounder, man. Dude, this is as big a turkey as I've had in a long time with people coming over. But, you know, from the yams to the green bean casserole, which is a four cheese, to stuffing, to jalapeno cream corn, the rolls, the pies. I can't wait, man. I can't wait. So, and mashed potatoes and gravy. What do you, and then beforehand, we do like shrimp, like,
shrimp cocktail.
Shrimp cocktail and meats and cheeses like at 10:30 or 10 in the morning.
I might have
is there one thing that. You just will, is there a side that you even think's better than the turkey, Sage?
My sister makes these really good cheesy potatoes.
Oh, phenomenal.
Yeah, really, really good. Got to have those. We also do mashed potatoes. I've always been, since I was a tiny kid, a big corn guy, you know, just corn just piled on top of everything.
I'm a mosh pit too. Yeah. The corn sits in the gravy that sits in the potatoes.
Gravy over everything.
I agree.
And we do turkey and ham. So we have both. And yeah, it's my mouth is now watering. And,
yeah, throw it down, brother. You deserve it. It's been a hell of a. This is my favorite holiday, and I miss my family, and in particular my pops, and to my son Dodge, who unexpectedly lost. And you know my love for animals. My boy lost his beloved dog last night, unexpectedly. Ooh. With heart failure. And I don't know if he'd want me to share it, but I know he's taking it hard. I love you, son. And it put me to tears today when I got the message, because I know how much Louie meant to you and your family. So that's not something you want to hear the day before Thanksgiving for him. So love Louie. He was a big part of our family and my son's family. And so best to him and best to everybody out there. Be safe and be kind. Somebody's not going to get to do the things we get to do on Thanksgiving. So happy Thanksgiving, Segs. I love you, brother. And we'll do this Thanksgiving as a celebration soon, my man. We will.
Yes. Yes, we will. Thank you to Triple E. Thanks to Laura. Thanks to Bailey behind the scenes. As always, go like and subscribe to the YouTube channel at Unpaved Sean Salisbury. Thank you to all our listeners, commenters, everybody that joins us on all of our platforms that we are on.
Happy Thanksgiving to all you guys. We sincerely mean it. You guys mean your fun and your great comments. They keep us not only in check, but they actually make the show better. No question about it. So we appreciate you, and happy Thanksgiving to everybody.
Yes. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. We will be back Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern, noon Central, with Coach JB breaking down all these NFL and college games.
I can't wait till he talks about the chicken and the ass. That'll be fun to bring back to him on Monday.
Remember to bring that up.
Oh, there. No doubt.
I will write that down right now so we remember to tell him that. All right. We'll talk to you guys next week. Peace.
Unpaved Sean Salisbury here for bringing authentic, real stuff to you. Hardcore opinion.
Sean Salisbury, a great NFL analyst, a former NFL quarterback.